Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Before we take our text, this is going to be Paul and Silas going in reply to the Macedonian call into Philippi, where they meet with trouble. So as we sang in the hymns tonight, we know that God leads us. But sometimes when we follow where God leads us, we can wind up in a mess. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are doing a journey. Obviously, this is a second missionary journey. And in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And I don't believe they made a mistake. I believe that was the Lord. Well, what happened? They travel, and verse 12, from thence to Philippi, which is called the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So the first thing they found is there are actually some people that have been praying, and they go and join them for prayer. One of the women, verse 14, named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized. So she worshipped God, but she hadn't been saved yet. And now she gets saved. And her household, verse 15, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. Well, that's not necessarily good advertising, because she's known in town to have a spirit of divination. She's a soothsayer. And now she's running around, you know, Paul didn't need that kind of media exposure. So this she did many days in verse 18. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. Up to this point, do you see anything wrong with what they've been doing? They followed the call. They found some folks that have been praying there. And we often say when you answer the call to go to a particular area, you're going to find that God's already there, been doing something, right? And here these ladies are, and then Lydia gets saved, and that's great. And then they cast this devil out of the woman, which is the right thing to do. But verse 19, when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city," which wasn't true, "and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The only problem was they lost their cash flow. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates writ off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. How did that happen? How did that happen? Did God lead them to Macedonia? Did they not find that there were women there praying by the riverside on the Sabbath, and they were exhorted them, and Lydia got saved, and this soothsayer's devil gets cast out? You know, everything was working well until suddenly these men, upset about their treasures of wickedness, decide they're going to make a false accusation against Paul and Silas, have them beaten and arrested. What went wrong? What happened? Well, we don't know what time of day it was that they got thrown into prison. We don't know what they first did when they got there. Probably they were nursing some wounds. Sounded like they were beaten pretty badly. Getting over the trauma. Perhaps coming out of the daze. Nevertheless, however long it was from the time that they were thrust into the prison until verse 25, at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know what you learn in Acts 16:25? You learn what to do when you find yourself in trouble after obeying the Lord's will and direction for your life. Sometimes God leads us into bad circumstances. It's not that the bad circumstances are the end objective. The bad circumstances accompany something that God is doing, and there is no way to get what God wants done without you going through something bad while you're getting there. Now, generally what happens when we get overwhelmed, we have a tendency to respond and react to our emotions, fear, anger, frustration, whatever the case may be. I mean, we're people. And sometimes we may even look up and go, what's this all about? And start fussing a little bit with God. I thank God that God is long-suffering and forbearing and understanding, don't you? I think He understands when we get out of sorts over a thing like this. It's like, how in the world did I end up in a situation like this? What did I do to deserve this? Whatever question may come to your mind, I get it. But Paul and Silas show us really a better thing to do. What we're supposed to do when we find ourselves in trouble, in bad circumstances, from following God. Here's the first thing. Recognize that God led you there. God leads His dear children along. You got to recognize God led you there. This is in response to a vision and leadership from the Lord to get them into Philippi to preach the gospel. You got to know. You got to take some solace, some comfort, some trust. Okay, I'm here because God led me here. In other words, I'm not here because I misunderstood God's will or direction, and I'm not here as the result of sin in my life. I'm here because this is where God led me. Now, at the moment, right here in verse 25, Paul and Silas could not figure out why God allowed them to be beaten, badly beaten, and thrown in jail. There's no way they could have figured it out. They could be sure that this wasn't the chastening hand of the Lord. I'm sure that Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 probably ran through their mind. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. But knowing what they've been doing, you can be pretty sure they drew a blank. Right? God said, you're not off course. So it wasn't the chastening hand of God. It wasn't the consequence of some heinous sin. And it wasn't a misunderstanding of God's will. It's just, this is where we happen to be under the leadership of God, and somehow or another we got to figure out what to do about this without getting mad at God or without questioning God. Because at this point, it's too soon to understand how'd this happen. All right, so that's the first thing. Just recognize when you're in a situation like that, and you've seen in your Bible people that go through some crazy things. You know, Isaiah running around naked. That's pretty crazy, right? And say, you know what? I wouldn't be doing this, but God led me here, and I just have to take some confidence in trusting God. I wouldn't be here if God didn't want me to be here. All right, second thing. This is very important. Look for the presence of God there. Look for the presence of God there. You are not, Paul and Silas were not alone. Two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. God was there. Now, Paul and Silas didn't start praying and praising God until midnight. And up to them, you know, what are they doing? Recovering, maybe soul searching. But at some point in the night, they realized, we're not alone here. That has to be a tremendously comforting thought. God is in here with us. after they realized that, then they started praying and praising, right? But they had to realize, wait a minute, I'm not praying and praising to get God here. God's here. So we sing the song, and you sang it with me tonight, God leads us along. The chorus is, God leads His dear children along, some through the waters, some through the flood, right? Some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. You see? It happened here. God gives a song. In the night season, it's midnight, and all the day long. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found God in the fire. They got thrown in there, and Nebuchadnezzar looks in, and he goes, wait a minute. There's four guys in there. We threw three. Those guys were bound. They're up loose walking around. What is that? They found God in the fire. Moses and the Jews found God while going through the flood. They part that water and go through there, and God's right there just holding off water on both sides, and they are going over on dry ground. Jesus found God to be in the wilderness when he was driven out there to be tempted by the devil. And God was with Paul and Silas in that jail cell. He was there. When God was with Jesus in Gethsemane, remember that through great sorrow, the Bible says? I mean, the song says, he leads us through great sorrow. That was Jesus Christ was very heavy with sorrow. But you know what they did going into Gethsemane? They sang a hymn and they prayed. God gives a song. You know, Jesus was a good example for Paul and Silas, and remembering back to the crucifixion, remembering back to Gethsemane. What did Jesus do? Well, he sang and he prayed. Okay, well, let's sing and pray. So recognize, wait a minute, we're here because God led us here. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's here. He's here. God, look for the presence of God there. Look for the presence of God there. And then the third thing, pray and praise God. Pray and praise God. You know, pray, and as we heard in the testimony tonight, one of the praises, that peace of God that passeth all understanding comes. You pray, and what happens? An opportunity to witness comes. But he says, and praise me too. And praise me too. You know, God is more often found in the valley than he is on the mountaintop. Did you ever notice that? You know, when you're on the mountaintop, you are overwhelmed by the view. Anybody ever summit a mountain and see what's there? I can think of several peaks that I've been on, and what you see when you do, and it just is mind-boggling. And you praise God for his great creation, but you don't necessarily recognize that he's there. You get in that valley when everything seems to have turned against you, and guess what? You find out that God is there. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he wasn't conjuring up some belief. He knew God was there. He found the Lord to be in the valley. And you know, when you know that God is with you in the valley, then you can talk to him in prayer and you can praise him in song because he's right there. It's not like they're down in this prison all beaten and God is way up there nonchalantly in heaven. He's right there with them, and it's just talk to him in prayer and praise him in song. When you look back on your past valleys, which is helpful when you're going through another valley, you'll remember in those past valleys that God was there. You'll remember what he did in your life that changed you to be the person that you are now. You found yourself in those valleys closer to the Lord down there than you ever did on the mountaintops. I have told people before who come to me when they're in a dark valley. I said, you know what? Do this and that to get through it, but you're going to look back on this day, and for you, this is going to end up being a mountaintop experience, though it's a valley for you today. then you're going to look back because of what God is doing in your life, what God showed you about himself in that valley, and you're going to cherish that day more than any of those that had those beautiful views from the top of the mountain. And I remember distinctly, and there have been many or several, a valley in my life, the Lord directed me to a passage of Scripture and showed me something about himself that absolutely changed forever my relationship with him. And that's the kind of stuff he's trying to do. You know, it's much more profitable because of what you're seeing in Paul and Silas, because you know what you've seen and is true from the Scripture, from the song. It's much more profitable to enjoy your time with the Lord in the rough place than it is to fuss him with him and ask him why you're there. It's not profitable to ask him, why am I here? Because you have to live longer than that to be able to see, looking back, what it was he was accomplishing in your life and in the life of other people, why you were there. So it's much more profitable to go ahead and enjoy his presence by prayer and praise. He's got a plan, or you wouldn't be there. Let me say it again. He's got a plan, or you wouldn't be there. You know, in time, after time passes, it will become evident to you what God is doing. But in the meantime, you got to be still, right? You got to wait. Who likes to do that? You got to pray, right? You praise God. You know, really, they didn't have to wait very long. That same night, just a little while later, things started shaking. And they'd seen that act before. Acts chapter 4, they're over there praying that God will fill them with the Holy Spirit and give them some boldness. And that building started shaking, and those guys were filled with the Spirit of God, and they're preaching the Word of God with boldness. Things start shaking around there, and they're like, wow, man, is God ever here in a very strong way? That earthquakes, all those prison doors are open. Nobody leaves. The jailer comes in, and you know something? That guy got saved, and all his house got saved. And you got to know, after all, what Paul and Silas went through unjustly, and all those magistrates, something very miraculous happened. And if you've ever read Paul's letter to the Philippians, one of the most cherished churches he had in those that he was able to see started, it was the Philippian church. Tremendous letter. They were the first ones to support him when he began going on support from other churches. They were the ones who he wrote and said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They were a very cherished church to him, but there was no church there the night they were in that prison singing. But God had a plan, and it involved them going through this in order to encourage those folks to carry on in the gospel after that jailer and his household got saved, to have the church they had there. And it wouldn't have happened any other way. It's a rough spot sometimes. You may be getting ready to go through one. You may be one right now. But I'm going to tell you, remember, it was the Lord that led you there. He's there with you now. And the thing to do is pray and praise him. It's better than trying to figure out why. Amen? Father, we're very thankful tonight for the clarity of your Scripture and the beauty of your Scripture. Now we pray we'll take these things to heart and do as you say. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.